This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Looking for an easy workout? You're in the wrong place. Peloton Tread has what you need to challenge yourself. Need to be pushed to your limit? Their elite coaches will keep you on track to break past your goals. Whether you're looking to get stronger or faster, Peloton Tread has everything you need to become everything you want. Find your push. Find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more.
Well, if the Back to the Future Sports Almanac was a thing in 2024, I'll tell you, the one that I wouldn't believe when I look at the top of the NFC East, what the Washington Commanders are doing is pretty awesome. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Mark Zeno. We are presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. We're on Sirius XM Channel 80. We should also mention, Zeno, you can ask your smart speaker and take advantage of this, whether it's one of those googly things or the Alexa thing, or ask your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio, and it will. How shocked would you have been, Zeno, if I'd have told you back on September 1st, Labor Day weekend, Washington Commanders 7-2 just won the trade deadline by getting Marshawn Lattimore from the New Orleans Saints?
I mean, I would be shocked from the standpoint of that they were, you know, buyers where they are, given the fact that they have a rookie quarterback. I'm not surprised to see them playing well. I'm not surprised to see them necessarily at the top of the division. The 7-2 record is probably the most surprising thing about it. But, again, even last year with C.J. Stroud, like, the Texans were at the top of the division, but they were more hovering around 500, a game or two above 500, not necessarily a team that was sort of running away with their division.
Yeah. I'm interested to see, you know, you talk about this in college. I'm interested to see when the quality of opponent goes up because, well, as you mentioned earlier, the Commanders, you know, have had kind of a soft schedule. When they play another team the likes of Baltimore, who beat them pretty good, exactly what's going to happen when they start punching a little bit of a different weight class. All that being said, I don't know. If you're looking for the future or if you're looking for the present, I'm going through the list of quarterbacks beyond Allen and Mahomes in the and Lamar Jackson in the NFL nowadays. I mean, I'm not sure how many guys I got to run through before I get to Jaden Daniels on the list. So I'll name the guy. You tell me whether you'd rather have them to win one game as of today, them or Jaden Daniels. I mean, Joe Burrow, I think you'd probably rather have than Jaden Daniels, or no?
Yes.
Okay. Stroud or Jaden Daniels to win one game?
Stroud.
Trevor Lawrence or Jaden Daniels to win one game?
Well, we haven't worked together long enough. You know my feelings on Trevor Lawrence. It's completely overrated. Not a good quarterback. There's easily a dozen better quarterbacks than Trevor Lawrence in this league. So,
Herbert, I wouldn't pick Trevor Lawrence. Herbert or Jaden Daniels? You'd take Herbert?
Yes.
Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels?
Hurts. I mean, I could probably get to 10 pretty easily over I'd take Jaden Daniels right now.
Dak?
I mean, he's played really well. Yes, absolutely.
You would? Wow.
Yes,
Goff.
Absolutely.
Goff?
Yes. Well, is Goff on the road? Goff at home, yes. On the road, I might have some questions.
Green Bay, Jordan Love.
No.
You'd rather have Jaden Daniels? I would too. Kirk Cousins or Jaden Daniels?
Kirk, by a mile.
Baker Mayfield or Jaden Daniels? Big game. Who'd you rather?
Jaden.
Yeah, I probably agree with you there. Kyler Murray or Jaden Daniels in a big game?
Murray.
Really? I'd probably rather have Jaden Daniels. I don't know how I feel. Kyler Murray's got some magic to him, but he's a 5'11" quarterback, and that always scares me. Brock Purdy or Jaden Daniels in a big game?
Do I get Kyle Shanahan with Brock Purdy?
No. I want you to grade the quarterback, not the system.
Then probably not. Then probably not. That's tough. That's a coin flip, if you ask me, as far as, you know, taking him. I mean, look, Brock Purdy, again, you know, we talked about him yesterday. It's like Brock Purdy's never been the reason the 49ers have lost a playoff game. He might not have been the reason that they won it, but he's never been the reason that they've lost it.
And I'd have to give him credit. You know, he proved something to me coming back, and Dan Campbell helped. You come back from a 17-point second-half deficit in the NFC Championship game, you're a franchise quarterback to me. I mean, I know people, Mr. Irrelevant and all that, but I think he's kind of bucked that label and trend. Stafford, healthy, or Jaden Daniels in 2024, who would you rather?
Stafford.
Okay, so,
like, the thing about Jaden Daniels is you have to remember, like, I mean, he's played well, and he hasn't hurt his team, and he's taken care of the football, and he's made some good plays. But this isn't exactly a quarterback that, you know, I mean, put the situation together, right? If they're down 14-3 at halftime, is this the quarterback you want to throw you back into a game? Is this the quarterback you want to be able to come from behind and lead you from behind? No. I mean, that's it's game script for them. If you go look at the Commanders and the games that they've won and the way that they've played, yes, rookie quarterbacks are a lot more, you know, easy to deal with when you're playing with a lead. When you're playing with, you know, a touchdown or more lead, which is what the Commanders have had for a better part of this year.
Yeah.
Go back to the Ravens game, you know, a game where they're trailing 27-13 at the end of the third quarter. Like, is that the guy you really believe is going to lead you back? I don't see it. Again, that's not to say he's a bad quarterback, and it's not to say he's not playing well, but the sample size that I have for him of, oh, I don't know, 9 games isn't enough for me to sit there and take him over bigger sample sizes of guys that I have seen do these things before.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets hard. And look, for the first, I think it was 5 weeks of the season, Jaden Daniels was in the bottom three of average depth of yard target, right? Average depth of target.
Yeah.
Like, here's a 4-yard little dump off. Here's a 2-yard slant, like, which is smart by the Commanders.
That was because, they were working him into the NFL. I thought it was savvy play calling by Cliff Kingsbury, and then he got more comfortable. You know, if you look at the quarterback that beat the New York Giants because they didn't have a kicker all the way back in week two, sorry to bring it up about your favorite team, I mean, that Jaden Daniels and the Jaden Daniels you see now, two very different guys. Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Mark Zeno. He is the fifth-rated passer in the NFL this year. 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I might take him over a few of the guys, you know, that you said you'd rather have. That being said, I think the MVP conversation around him is a little much. I know they're 7-2, and I know it's a great story, and I know everybody's wrapped up in it, and they're the hottest thing to talk about in the NFL. I don't know. Josh Allen lost a lot of his offensive weapons, and the Bills are still dominant out in the AFC East. Lamar Jackson is doing Lamar Jackson things for Baltimore. I'd have him in my top 7 MVP candidates, but I can't go on ESPN Bet and think that a rookie quarterback is going to win the MVP award, Mark, or no?
No. I think that's probably getting out over your skis just a hair when it comes to the idea of, you know, him being able to manufacture wins on his own. It's the smart thing to do. I mean, look, if you go back to C.J. Stroud last year, you know, C.J. Stroud was the guy last year that was elevating, right? Like, you know, he was a guy that was getting his team back into games on his own. Like, there's a difference between the two of those guys in the way that they play and everything else. And, you know, C.J. Stroud last year, one of the best quarterbacks against pressure in all the NFL as a rookie.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we're splitting hairs here. So any Commanders fans listening, I'm not sitting here dumping on Jaden Daniels. But objectively, if you watch what you see, you know, he's not a quarterback at this point that's elevating and making other guys around him better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's...
He has lifted up the franchise, though. I mean, and that's... You can look at the stats. You can look at the
Getting the
Commanders to be winners is no small feat. I'm not saying he's doing it on his own, but he's the biggest reason why they've totally changed who they are and the way people think about him.
I mean, he's got 1 300-yard passing game this year. One.
Yeah. He's dual threat, though. You know, he's been successful running the ball. I mean, it's a big part of his game.
And Lamar Jackson's MVP year, which technically was his second year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a different world of what we were seeing. Jaden Daniels is not at that level yet.
Okay.
You
Is he playing as well as Stroud was last year when you take everything?
No.
You would put – see, I think they were both in kind of weak divisions. You know?
Yes, and that's the other part of it.
And so they had maybe some schedule luck. I'm trying to think. You know, I'm not old enough. You might remember Marino's rookie season better than I do. I was like 2 years old, so I can go back and look at the numbers, but I don't remember watching it. I know my dad told me, like, that's the greatest rookie quarterback that he had ever seen. RG3 was amazing.
I mean, let me put this in context.
Yeah.
He's got one more passing touchdown than Daniel Jones this year.
Okay.
He's got one more than Bo Nix. Like, you know, Joe Flacco has started 5 games, and he's got 2 more touchdowns than him. He's got the same amount as Derek Carr. Like, again, we're measuring these guys based off of, you know, sort of certain things. But, you know, it's hard for me to sit there and objectively look at him and say he is a guy that is elevating. I mean, when you talk about, again, yards per game, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Tua, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, all these guys. Russell Wilson has more average passing yards per game than he does.
But part of your point, though, was that the Commanders, I still almost called them the R words, the Commanders, you know, always are ahead. So Jaden Daniels never has to carry them back except for when he's playing with banged up ribs, throwing Hail Marys against the Chicago Bears. And I do think that one play, you know, has now an iconic place in the history of Washington football lore. I think it's that wild of a play. And I think he's getting credit, not just for the statistics and can he make a receiver a better receiver, but because of the way he's lifted up the entire franchise and the way he's changed the fortunes of football in that city. And I can't deny, does Dan Quinn deserve some of that? Yes. Is their defense, you know, but maybe better than a lot of people thought? Sure. Does Terry McLaurin deserve more credit than he's getting? Yeah. But I think that this all changed to another level, not just
to your point,
but also Jaden Daniels going number two in the draft.
Wisely, he walked into an offense with a ton of weapons.
Yeah.
Yep. Between McLaurin, you know, a veteran tight end in Zach Ertz, you know, they got Robinson, you know, they have, who's the other back? The other. McNichols, McNichols that they got. I mean, you know, this was a team that had options for him. And the offensive line play has been good. It hasn't been bad by any stretch. I wouldn't call the Commanders' offensive line one of the top five units in the league. But, you know, they've done a good job. And he's helped himself out with his legs, right? He's really smart. He knows what to do with the football. He knows how to take care of the football. He only has two picks this year. Yeah. That's more paramount for rookie quarterbacks than anything. Yeah. Take care of the damn football. And help your team not lose games, and he's done that very well.
Yeah. He's beaten the Browns, Panthers, and Giants twice. You know, two. All right. So some of this, as we said, does come down to the competition. He's also gone and played Cincinnati and Arizona, who are, you know, teams at or above 500, potentially going to make the playoffs, and played really well against them. All right, coming up next is a special edition of Big Deal, Not a Big Deal, and it is not to be missed on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
All right, I promise. I'm not going to pass judgment on whether this is going well or poorly for the bet that you made. But with 7:41 to go in the third quarter right now at Kent, 27-0, Ohio has the lead. Kent State, the worst team in college football, 0-8, 0-4 in conference, has 48 passing yards and 33 rushing yards. They've thrown an interception. They obviously have no points. And Zeno has made a wager on this game, and I think we'll just leave it at that. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mark, also shocking news from the world of the NBA, where Zion Williamson just committed a foul and then excused himself back to the locker room. He came in with a bit of a hamstring injury, and I know you're stunned over there with the news that Zion might be a little banged up.
Yeah, I mean, look, what do you say about this whole thing? I mean, for all the fanfare that he came into the league with, it has been a mixed bag of mediocre results to this point.
Yeah. I'd say, too, one of the games in the NBA that I've seen so far this year, I got it on one of the monitors here right now as they are playing. Let me get the latest update. In the third quarter, 2:12 to go in third on ESPN. Warriors lead the Celtics 77-71 in the, I don't know, Tatum versus Steve Kerr. I don't know that that's a thing. But this has been a very entertaining game. For November, it's good NBA basketball.
Okay. So, you see, this is what happened. You just mushed it. You said it was 27-0. You know what just happened?
What?
Ohio returned a punt for a touchdown. Now it's 33-0. That is the death knell of unders. Okay? The special teams, a defensive touchdown. Like, my God.
Zeno, it's part of my job to update America on the score of the match.
Isn't that why we have SportsCenter updates every 30 minutes?
Every 30 minutes, this is Maction. Everybody's got to have the latest. Time for us to play Big Deal, Not a Big Deal.
That was a big deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
James Steele, producer James, you better not mention the Kent State-Ohio game. Otherwise, it's going to ruin the bet that Mark Zeno made on the worst team in college football.
I'm on your side here with the updates, because have you ever heard a Kevin Winter update? I don't think he talks about anything but, like, one thing. I think he
there
talked about Dak Prescott, like, two updates ago for an entire minute and a half.
There you go. See, right. He gets it.
Let's start in the NFL. Ryan Branch, Lions safety, he was ejected in their game against the Packers. He prepped to address reporters inside the Lions locker room after Wednesday's walkthrough practice. One of his teammates shouted, "Throw him up, BB," while passing by, but Branch, the second-year Lions defensive back, didn't see his recent actions as a laughing matter. He was ejected, like I said, in the Lions game on Sunday against Green Bay. But Branch apologized for flipping double birds to the Packers crowd and said he agreed with the referee's call. Zeno, big deal, not a big deal that Brian Branch has apologized for flipping the double bird.
Not a big deal. He's not the first player to flip the fans off. I mean, remember Brian Cox? Remember the linebacker Brian Cox?
Yeah.
As he walked off the field in Buffalo in the Miami Dolphins jersey. Like, that was the days when you didn't have to apologize for it. Brian Cox went back to the locker room after the game and said, "No, I don't regret it. No, I'm cool with it. I'm good. I hate those people." That's the kind of venom we need.
He had the coolest pads in
the 1990s.
Yep,
the little neck pads. We need to bring back the neck rolls, man.
Awesome. Awesome.
Like, if one of these young players today put on a neck roll, everybody in the league would be scared of him.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
forget the face paint.
That's a middle linebacker.
Just put the neck roll back on.
Yeah. To heck with these 180-pound linebackers we see nowadays. Give me Brian Cox right in the middle of my defense. Listen, I think that flipping people off is weird in this day and age. Have you flipped some? What was the last time you flipped somebody off? Has it happened this year?
It happened today in traffic.
No. Zeno.
What's wrong with it? It's totally normal.
You flipped somebody off today for doing what?
Because I didn't like the way they drove. Had to let them know. I believe horns should actually say words like, "Move it, moron!" Like, you know, like if you hit a horn and you can get a, like a freight, that would be great.
You flipped somebody off in traffic today. I haven't flipped somebody off since I was 12.
Well, you need to get better control of your anger. Like, honestly.
Maybe I need worse control of my anger, I'm missing out on the experience.
You know what I'm finding is, 1 year I gave up cursing for Lent.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I did not realize until Lent was over the therapeutic feeling that certain curse words give you. Mm. Like, just to yell them, your whole entire body just feels better. Just feels better. Now, I am predetermined to have my kids have potty mouths because, well, monkey see, monkey do, and in this case, daddy does everything, and the kids follow along. So,
and they're flipping off kids at school, riding their bikes as they go by, just like dad does. Big deal,
just
not a big deal. James, what do you got next?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the era of Stone Cold Steve Austin, so, I mean, that's just
an extension of my personality
is to flip people off. On Sunday, the Panthers shockingly beat the Saints on a late Chuba Hubbard touchdown. The Panthers will reportedly now start Bryce Young for the third consecutive game. Hammer, big deal, not a big deal. Bryce Young getting another start.
I mean, I think that it's the right deal. By the way, Zion just came back for the Pelicans. I know everybody's very worried about his potential injury, but he's back at the game, tied at 63 with 10-12 to go in the third quarter. I don't know whose bet I'm jinxing there. I think, wait, what was the question again? It was about who?
Bryce Young getting another start. And, yeah, third in a row.
I mean, look, they got to play him, right? I mean, they committed so much to trade up and get him. You got to play him at least 30 games before you determine whether he's your quarterback of the future or not. I guess he's been a little bit better. Zinner, I'll say this about him. Every time I see him on the field, I know this is going to sound mean, it just looks like he's getting smaller. It looks like he's shrinking every time I see him out there. So I'm worried about the size, but I think you have to play the number one pick coming off a win, don't you?
I don't think you play him because he's the number one pick. I think you play him because, you know, you have to make some sort of assessment of what the next move is surrounding him and understanding what his capabilities are, regardless of the fact that he's got no help around him. There's no offensive line. They only have Chuba Hubbard. They've traded away receivers. So you're asking a guy with next to no help to do a, you know, miracle work, and it's not going to work.
Do you think that he will be in Carolina next year? Like, let's say the Panthers get the number one pick again. So you think this – he'll go into a year three in Carolina, because there was a time where I thought there was a chance he'd get traded at the deadline this year to somebody who might be willing to take the risk.
I mean, if he's not, I would be surprised. Again, this is not an organization that's incredibly well run. We've seen that from this point in time. So, yeah, you know, to ask them to all of a sudden be smart about this probably is a little too late.
What are your four things for a successful NFL franchise again? Let's run through them.
Owner.
Yeah.
GM, coach, quarterback.
Yeah. No,
they don't have any of that really is appealing.
They're not checking many of those boxes down in Carolina. Up next, we get back to the world of college football, plus more Kent State, Ohio, MAC updates. I promise. Even though Zinner doesn't want them, on Amber and Ian, on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fade away jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Look, I mean, I didn't think we'd be talking Indiana football on the 6th of November 2024, but look, Hoosiers a football school now, and they're in the mix for the college football playoff as we got our first look at where things stand last night live on ESPN. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is helping to drive veterans' lives forward through their Keys to Progress program. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Mark Zinno. And we go out to the hotline where SEC Network analyst Cole Kublick is standing by. I know you focus mostly on the SEC, but Cole, do you buy or sell the notion of the Hoosiers right now in the college football playoff?
I can buy them being in the college football playoff. I love their style of football. They have a balanced offense. They're physical on offense. They got good skill. Obviously, when Rourke is in at quarterback, they got good leadership and somebody who can operate and manage the offense well. And then I think the main thing would be if you just look at that path. of where it is. You come in at 8, so that tells me right off the bat, you don't have to do a ton of heavy lifting just to make it. I mean, look up ahead of you. Tennessee and Georgia, they're going to play. Ohio State and Oregon could meet again. So you've got a couple of these teams that are going to meet one another and knock each other off, and you'll be good from that perspective at least. And there's not a ton of heavy lifting left on the schedule. Michigan's not Michigan from the last couple of years this year. At Ohio State, yes, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. And then Purdue after that. But you're a one-loss team. Only road loss will be at Ohio State on the year. I think you have still a pretty good shot to be able to get in.
Cole, I asked this question earlier about the SEC in reference to if you had to handicap, who you think wins it now, given all the matchups that are left. I know it's a really tough ask, but do you have a team you think that pulls it off and wins the SEC?
I would still lean Georgia right now. Really? I know people are really down on Carson Beck, and I understand that. There have been a couple decisions in each of the last few games that have been egregious. I'm not going to make excuses for it. I'm not going to say that things have been really tricky defensively. Like, he's just made bad throws. But I think that's something that can be overcome. I think that's correctable. And they still have a physical line of scrimmage when they have the ball, when they don't have the ball. They have takeover players defensively. They tackle extremely well in space. ATN's a guy that I think could take over a game. They have multiple targets that can play good football, even though one hasn't necessarily been individually dominant this year. And we've seen when they win to Austin, Texas, when they turn it on, what they're capable of doing. So could I see Texas being able to pull it off? Could I see a way that Tennessee gets in there and gets it done with the way the Ole Miss defense is playing? Is that feasible? Yes, absolutely. But if you're asking me to pick one right now, I'll probably go Georgia.
Cole, what are the odds a three-loss SEC team makes it into the college football playoff?
I just think it's going to be hard for any three-loss team to be able to get in, because even though, like I said earlier, a lot of these teams are going to pick each other apart and are going to knock others down, there are going to be a lot of teams sitting there like your SMUs, your Boise's, your Notre Dame's, your BYU's. You mentioned Indiana a little bit earlier. Whether that's a Tennessee or a Penn State, they're going to be one and two loss football teams. And keep in mind, too, the top 12 teams are not guaranteed to get in. We know the conference champions are going to get in, top four from obviously, the Power Five. And then, of course, group of five, the highest ranked conference champion there is going to get in as well. Or whatever we're referencing them as now, I can't keep up anymore. But that's going to take a couple spots away. So when we get down 2-3 weeks from now, the week before rivalry weekend, if your team's sitting there at 10, 11, 12, I wouldn't feel great about it, because there's a pretty good chance that they could easily get bumped out of that if a Boise State's not in the top 12 and they win their conference. Or the Big 12 champion, we get a couple more losses there, and they're not up there, and they're going to find their way in. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But a three-loss team, I find that hard to believe with the way that some of the one-loss, two-loss, and undefeated teams are playing right now.
Cole Kublik, SEC Network analyst, joining us here on Amber and Ian. It's Mark Zeno and Aaron Goldheimer in for the crew tonight. I already hated expansion, but I hate the automatic bids for the top four. That said, those top four are going to have a decided advantage here, and the race for the top four, I think, is going to be incredibly pivotal here. As BYU or whoever it may be, is going to end up, maybe snagging a bid away from a legitimate SEC team that's a lot better than they are. But when you look at sort of the race for the top three, do you see that buy as something that is really pivotal? Because we were talking earlier, Cole, I would guesstimate three of the top four teams that get a bye, they're all going to be in the college football playoff semifinal. Like, I think we're going to end up with the same thing we had when we had four teams, where the top three teams have really separated themselves from everybody else.
Yeah, and then you're going to get those teams. You could probably make an argument that a lot of those teams are going to move on, because not only are they going to get that bye, then they're going to get probably a more favorable matchup as well. I thought you were going down the path that my partner for Read and React on Monday nights, Roman Harper, does, where he says he would rather be the 5 seed than one of the top 4 seeds. And
really?
I can't get on board with it.
No.
And if you've ever tried to argue with Roman Harper, just don't, because you're not going to win. He's going to have the last word in every one that he has.
Now you just threw down a challenge. I have to hang out Roman Harper for a little bit.
I mean, next week we're going to go toe-to-toe. Zeno versus Roman Harper debate style, Cole. You don't know who you're dealing with here.
He is convinced that the 5 seed is better than any of the top 4 seeds. And I'm just like, Roman, you have to play an extra elimination game. I don't care where it is, who it's against, how far you travel. Like, it's an extra elimination game. I'm never getting on board with that. I don't care about anything else. So
But there are people who believe that. That was kind of the Notre Dame mindset, remember, when this was all put together of, we don't have a conference championship game, so we get that week off, and then we're guaranteed a home game. Well, number one, you're not guaranteed a home game. You could easily be a lower seed that has to go play somewhere else. And I for one, would like to play the less amount of elimination games possible on my path to win a championship. And the SEC championship game or ACC or Big Ten championship game is not necessarily an elimination game. So it is going to be interesting to watch, though, just how the bids go, how they fall. I didn't hear a ton of outrage from a lot of people about where certain teams were this time around. But I promise you guys, like I said before, the top 12 teams are not getting in. So just be prepared for that outrage once this bracket's actually set.
I mean, college football fans, an outrage, never. Cole Kublick with us, SEC Network analyst. If you could change one thing about the current playoff structure, Cole, what would you do?
I just put the top 12 teams in.
Yes.
And seed them yourself. I love the sentiment of rewarding conference champions to get something extra and be rewarded for that. I played a long time ago. Winning your conference championship game would have been enough for us. But that was one of our main goals going into a season. And because of the lack of equality in those conference championship games and just the conferences on an annual basis, some years they might be really close. Some years three of them might be close. Very rarely are they all close to being the same of either what that game was or what that season was in that league, or even what the teams are. And it's one of the most interesting things that I think we're going to find out is these conference championship game losers, what are we going to do with them? Because we're usually sending them to the Liberty Bowl and the Cheez-It Bowl, and we're done with those teams. You lose your conference title game, you're forgotten about, we don't really care about you anymore. Well, that could easily be one of the five or six best teams in America still. What if Texas and Georgia go to Atlanta and Texas loses? And they have two losses on the season to the same football team, and that football team is probably ranked one or two. I mean, you're not leaving them out, obviously. So that's just something we're going to have to retrain our brain on. And we also know losing recently usually punishes you further. So that is going to be fascinating to me to see. Now, if we get a 3 or 4 loss team that sneaks their way in and they lose again, I'm not talking about that team, but there will be some. When you look at where the ACC is headed right now, the Big 12 is headed, and the SEC is headed, that we could get a couple of these games where the loser is going to be a really fun conversation of, are they going to be 6? Are they going to be 7? Where I think when this whole thing is put together, we'd probably think in the back of our minds of, yeah, they'll be lucky to sneak in at 10 or 11.
Cole, explain to me the curious case of Washington State, who by all accounts is going to finish 11-1. How does the committee handle them?
McElroy and I were talking about this on our radio show this morning. And we were both kind of just, I think, a little bit dumbfounded of, okay, how is this going to work? And, what are we weighing them against? How are we viewing them? And this is another part of it. We have to retrain our brains on so many different things. I don't know how they would be viewed. And I don't know the exact ramifications of how that committee would look at them as definitively being in. Number one, you look down that schedule, it's not as bad as a lot of people would probably think right off the bat.
Right.
Your one loss on the blue turf at Boise. That's a very acceptable loss specifically because of where the committee has Boise right now.
Yeah.
So you might not like Boise. You might not think they're great. But the only thing that matters is where the committee has them. The Washington win could end up being good at the end of the year. Texas Tech, I have a feeling, is going to be a really good win at the end of the year. They're kind of coming on right now. But there's not a lot of proving ground left, so to speak. Utah State, New Mexico, you're not building a lot of clout there. Oregon State, yeah, maybe a little bit. And Wyoming, not so much. So where are they making up the ground the rest of the way? It feels like it would take a lot of people for them to lose and drop out, for them to have to move up. But I'm with you. It is one that the more I look at it, I think the more confused I get of, okay, how exactly is this going to work and what exactly is it going to take for them to get in?
Cole Kublick with us, SEC Network analyst. Two big games in the conference this week, Alabama-LSU, Georgia-Ole Miss. You have to pick one of those quarterbacks to win one game. Nussmeier, Milroe, Carson Beck, Dart. Who do you choose?
Jackson Dart, because I think he probably has the best combination of skill set, experience, I'm going to call it gamer ability, even though that's not a real word, and just toughness, honestly. That doesn't mean that any of those other candidates aren't gamers, aren't tough, don't have maybe better arm strength or you know, better mobility, whatever that is. But he gives you good enough mobility to break you down. He's tough enough to take hits, be durable during the course of a game and utilize that. He throws a nice deep ball. He's got good accuracy. He is, as we had this conversation the other day, we're getting ready for Reed to react, and I started thinking about it, and I said, how many quarterbacks in college football right now are on their third year with their coordinator? So the coordinator and the quarterback have been together for 3 years. And the outlier that I was kind of referencing was Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt, where a lot of people wouldn't think about that. But one of the reasons that things work in the way that it is that dude's been running that for a long time. There's a ton of familiarity there. Mm-hmm. Well, Jackson Dart would be one of – I would probably put the over-under on 20 in all of college football. And if you made me, I'd probably bet the under on that. So that familiarity is going to help him, knowing that system. He's got legit weapons. And I know I'm just taking the quarterback, but if I'm getting the whole team, that Ole Miss defensive front seven right now looks like one I can lean on, and they can maybe go out and get me a game. So I would love to have Milroe's explosive capability. I would love to have Nussmeier's just wing it mentality and arm strength, but and maybe the overall just poise and being able to push the ball down the field of Carson Beck, but I'm taking Jackson Dart.
Let me ask you, Cole, if Ole Miss gets beat this weekend by Georgia – and they're a three-loss team, and as you said, they're probably out of the college football playoff. Does that signal Lane Kiffin moving on to you?
Not necessarily. I think there are some personal items that are still going to tug at him there in Oxford, specifically his daughter being in school there. I think it's going to be very difficult when you get to where he has and built some of the things that he has in today's day and age of college football to walk away from those and there be uncertainty on the other side of it. You know, this whole collective deal and the portal situation and the relationships that you've got in traditional recruiting, to go restart that no matter where it is and wherever the brand recognition of that is not going to be easy. And he has a lot of things. I mean, if you're sitting there checking the boxes of, okay, this is what I know I have and this is what I know I have at the other place, Ole Miss is going to outweigh a lot of places right now. Traditional brand, Florida is your winner there. There's no doubt about that. But I think we're past the whole fertile recruiting ground and traditional power just automatically being able to go in there and win. I don't think that that's something that you just look at and say, oh, he can go there and win 10 games every year. By the way, he's doing things in Oxford, Mississippi that have never been done in the history of the program. And he's got a couple more of those in front of him this year, maybe the next few years. So I don't think it's automatic, no. I think that there are other jobs that he's been very interested in. I fully believe that he had agreed in principle on taking the Auburn job last year and changed his mind late, but I don't think it automatically means that he's just out, no.
Cole Kublik, SEC Network analyst. Cole, enjoy the chaos and the debates. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Well, if y'all want a real one, get Roman Harper on and ask him about being number four, yeah, or number five in the playoff, and then just listen to him go for the next 30 minutes.
We may have to do it. Appreciate it, Cole. Thank you. That's Cole Kublik, SEC Network analyst. He is brought to you by Bear. Get everything you want in a paint all in one can with Bear Dynasty from the Home Depot. Coming up next, we put Zinno on the hot seat. What are the top five Pop-Tart flavors? On Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
We've got controversy before we get to Mark Zeno's Pop-Tart rankings, which are very important here. Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Mark Zeno. I just overheard you take a phone call in the commercial break. Phone call was from Ian Fitzsimmons. By the way, 888-SAY-ESPN, Ian, if you want to jump in with us. 888-729-3776. Apparently making fun of me for mispronouncing our previous guest's name. I've had Cole on shows many times, and I've always pronounced his name the same way, and nobody has ever corrected me. What is the correct pronunciation of Cole's last name so that I make sure I get this right and I don't make a fool of myself when I'm filling in for Amber and Ian? Ian, by the way, you can call me. You don't have to call the co-host and try to make a mockery of you. Call me directly. There are microphones involved in this show.
Yes, Kublik. Cole Kublik.
Kublik. Mm-hmm. What did I call him? Kublik?
Mm-hmm. It was like the Clemson quarterback, Cade Klubnik. Is it Klubnik or Klubnik? And we did that for like a year straight.
This is a very subtle thing for you and Cole and Ian to be talking about behind my back. I don't know that I'm even really missing this.
Do we know Cole's in on it on the behind? Do you think we care?
So here's what I understand happened. And Mark, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Cole called Ian Fitzsimmons. Ian Fitzsimmons discussed the situation with Cole. Ian then called Mark Zeno, and everybody is talking about this except for the person who mispronounced the name, which is me.
Yes, you have accurately described the transaction. Look, it's, you know, it happens.
Did Cole call Ian to talk shop, or did Cole call Ian to say,
because
who's
we were in a break,
schlub filling in for that's you? Not, that doesn't he, know how to pronounce
he, no, he
my
did
name.
Not. He did not. He did not denigrate you in any way. Ian did not say anything negative about it. He just said, hey, the pronunciation of his last name is Kublik.
Kublik. So I said Kublik.
He wanted me to yell at James, our producer, James Steele. You know, because
James is supposed to correct me on these things and make me look better. And instead, you know, he's just waiting for your Pop-Tart rankings.
He could have called me too, but he didn't. So that's.
I guess that means he likes me better than he likes both of you, which makes me feel happy.
Apparently, 9:12 to go fourth quarter. This is getting dicey. Ohio with the 41-0 lead over Kent State, and you are getting nervous over there, Mark Zeno. Please
just call, do the American thing, Ohio, and quit. Just call off the dogs. You play the cheerleaders. Get the water boy out there. Who cares?
You don't want them to do that because then Kent is going to have a chance to put a drive together.
No, they don't. They have 30 passing yards through four quarters. Obviously, they can't play football at this level.
The best thing about sports gambling is this is the most lopsided game you will ever see on a Wednesday night in the MAC.
Yep.
And you and I are now watching it like hawks to see whether it's going to go over or not. Can I mention the total that you bet, or is that
No, that's fine. I have 52.
All right, 41.
So
41
I only have one more touchdown and one more field goal left.
With 9:12 to go, it is
so
Ohio
time.
Ball,
My God,
but they're
that's painful.
They're on their own 16-yard line, but against Kent, any punt, any play could result in points. So,
like, this is where I just want them to get like two first downs running the football and then punt it away.
Yep. Yep.
That's what I want.
And then you want Kent to really throw in the towel and just run the ball from here and just sort of sit on it. Somebody go water boy offense or something and you take a bunch of knees and we'll be all ready to go. Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Mark Zeno. Cole Kublik.
Kublik.
Cole Kublik is not a part of this segment, but. You promised to rank your top five Pop-Tart flavors. Now, I was going to try a Pop-Tart on the show today. Unfortunately, I forgot to stop at the grocery store and get the Pop-Tart. So we'll have to do this at another time. I've still never had a Pop-Tart, but I want the real analysis of the flavors so that I try the right one. Let's start with number five, Zin. Go ahead.
All right, straight cherry. Like, I'm not the straight regular flavor guy. I think the blueberry and the strawberry are blah. But, you know, the cherry one is good enough. It's sweet enough. They put like little frosty sprinkles on the top of it, you know, so you get a little bit of crunch in it, a little bit of texture. Uh-huh. So I go cherry at number five.
Okay. Number four
for me is going to be chocolate fudge. If you really like chocolate, I'm a big chocolate guy. You know, you get the chocolate on the inside. You get the chocolate on the top, a little sugar coating as well, a little bit more, you know, crystal sprinkles on top. So you get an overly fudgy flavor. I would go there when I'm really in the mood for a chocolate overload.
You got to be a chocolate lover there. Number
yes.
three.
Cinnamon and brown sugar. Always a solid choice. It is just a perfect combination of sweetness, and you get the little icing on the top. Just it hit, everything hits the way you want it to.
Yeah, I heard a lot of action on that one throughout the course of the day today that's what I should try. What do you have in the number two spot, Zen?
Cookies and cream, baby. All reliable. It's just a great American flavor. You put a cookies and cream in ice cream, cookies and cream in cake, cookies and cream everywhere. You can't go wrong.
And the number one spot, the number one Pop-Tart, according to Mark Zeno, is?
S'mores. Another American classic. You just can't beat it. You get the marshmallow, you get the chocolate, the graham, everything with a little icing on top. Beautiful. The perfect snack for you to have when you want something sweet.
All right. We have covered it all on today's Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.